What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Layla Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well. I was not expecting that, the little Layla Rahimi dub in there. I am in for Mike Mulligan. Mully will be up and at him with you tomorrow morning or pretty soon this morning on Mully and Haw. This is the Great Clips postgame show. It is presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. Hello, we are happy to have you after, unfortunately, another Bears loss, 30-12 to Minnesota. Maybe I'm crazy, but this one actually felt a little closer than that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the Bears actually tried to string some drives together. But unfortunately, it's now reached a record of 4-9 on the season as this losing streak continues with really 4-10 on the season as this losing streak continues with no end in sight. They started the season at 4-2. We are now at 4-10. That means it's been 8 straight losses. So on that chipper note, I would like to introduce Patrick Manley, who I helped watch the game with in our studio, and Olin Krutz. And guys, I'm pretty sure we were all pretty close on the score predictions as well. Refresh my memory, Olin, on what you had in the pregame show.
Yeah, I had 30-12, just kind of what you expected, that the Vikings would overwhelm the Chicago Bears. And they just, at this point of the year, Pat and Layla, what you are is what you are, right? Like, you're going to make the same mistakes. You're going to crumble at the goal line. Someone's not going to report. You're going to get stopped on 4th-and-1. You guys are going to make mistakes on blocks. And, you know, we could pick it apart and go through every little mistake, Pat. But when you watch this team, it's just over and over and over again. They show you their identity. They're probably trying to get Coach Eberflus back to the building. Maybe they can fire him again.
Yeah, Olin, it's just uninspiring, man. I just, like you said, you keep seeing the same mistakes. But then there's also something that shows up, and it's extremely embarrassing. The fact that Kramer didn't report, I mean, that's something, you know, you go through short yardage and goal line on Fridays, and you almost make a joke of it, the guy who's reporting, that he just turns to one of the coaches and always rubs his jersey, says, hey, you know, 68 reporting, and just to forget that. And that's the only thing he had to do, and that to me just kind of sums up this team when they talk about details and accountability and all that kind of stuff, and something that little can be that big in the game. The second series of the half, I think the defense came out and had 2 3-and-outs. And then so you're like, hey, maybe something can happen here. Maybe they can make it a game in the fourth quarter, and you take 7 off the board and you only get 3. And it just it amazes me, guys, that there is always something to talk about that happens like that. And I'm like, when is it going to happen? And there it is. But it's uninspiring, and it's just brutal. Olin, you and I were texting each other. I might have had some cuss words in our text back and forth, but it's not fun, and it can't be fun for them either. But they keep saying the same thing. We need to be more accountable. We need to take care of the details. Well, you're not. And it's showing, it's showing it, you know, in that loss in 30-12 to the Vikings.
Yeah, and it shows up, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, he covered three. The same guy again that last week was peeking in the backfield on that first touchdown, right? Yep. So just like we're talking about, the things are repeating itself, and then now it's the same players also making mistakes over and over again. They keep talking to us about their details and how they have to be more accountable. And, you know, we were talking about the fourth and one, and yeah, you know, Cole Kmet, I don't like the toss behind the left tackle, the young left tackle, Karan Amagaji, who struggled tonight, which you thought he would, right? You thought he would going against a very pass good pass rusher and Jonathan Grenard for the Minnesota Vikings, and it left them one-on-one too many times for my liking. I don't think you're going to go for it on fourth and one early in the game, and you're going to toss it behind your young left tackle and Cole Kmet, who got stuffed right there at the point of attack, right? And then, you know, the next fourth and run, they're running power. And Pat and Layla, you know, if you put another tight end in there, the gap, it's one gap wider now, right? If you're not running with a fullback. And I go back to the fullback again. And we kept asking, why don't you just keep blocking game if you want to use a fullback, right? Then you don't have to get a center to report, right? And then you can put a guy in the backfield for power. It's just really, really a frustrating team to watch this year. I don't know. I don't even know, guys, honestly, where to put the blame anymore. Like, it's just all of them.
Well, I would say what you mentioned there, that's coaching, right? I mean, you're sitting there and saying, okay, our first fourth and one call, and guys, and they probably did talk about it, we're going to go for it early. We're going to put the pressure on them, see if we can get this thing going. And that's what you came up with when you're sitting in meetings? I know you maybe didn't know during the week that Karan Amagaji was going to be in there until, what, Friday or Saturday or later in the week.
Yeah,
but still,
Sunday.
once he's put in there and you understand that should be a big Sharpie across that, right? You take that play and say, no, let's go, at least go to the right. That, to me, is on coaching. And then, yeah, Olin, and then the other fourth and one, when a guard pulls, can you just go blow somebody up, not dance around, you know, when you're coming around the center? That just I didn't like that either. And then, obviously, I think Swift, you know, he tried to hit the old backside A-gap like Thomas Jones, Olin.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you line up an extra tight end there instead of using a fullback, you basically made the right guard the center.
Yeah.
Right? So now the A-gap is outside, actually the B-gap, and I don't want to go through, you can't really explain it on radio, but it's just frustrating, again, to watch. And Karan's got to cut that guy there.
Yeah.
You can't try to cut him off with crowd noise on the road, and he'll learn that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what you're hoping that a good thing comes out of this is that he has tons of film now against a top-level pass rusher on the road with crowd noise, right? So I don't know what really to take out of this game. And then, you know, the defense again, the coverage, the lack of pass rush, you know, sitting in zone early in the game, it's just all like you're watching a rerun of every game.
Yeah, and we're seeing – oh, sorry, Layla, but you're seeing also – let's go to Caleb. Caleb looked inconsistent. I thought he was very inconsistent, missed some easy throws, missed that touchdown throw to Keenan on the left sideline. He looked scared in that pocket running around. I want to see growth, and I don't think we're seeing the growth we were hoping to see. And I'm concerned about this inconsistent with his passing, and just he just doesn't seem accurate right now. So there's a lot of things that we were hoping for later in the year when they got to go against these division games in these division games, that you would see that growth. And we would say, hey, man, we checked the box here. He's getting better there. He's getting better there. I just see him kind of staying the same and just the maybe saying he's regressing a little bit with his accuracy.
I mean, that's something that I did want to point out, and I'm so lucky that we have you two to talk about this, Olin and Pat. And I joked with James Williams and, you know, previous analysts we've had on the Score, of course. We almost have enough for an offensive line, almost. I'll give you what I can. I got a chop block to give her to. But there was so much today where you could illustrate, not only was it a line flaw, you know, we've talked about placing the blame on the line when it is due, and you see that happening, but there's multiple issues happening in this game. It's a multi-system organ failure in a way. Which organ is failing the most and the quickest? This is a triage now when it comes to you using terms like that versus this game. And to me, guys, there's a couple of situations that happen. Number one, you know, we talk about not letting one loss beat you twice. I hate that the Hail Mary was the turning point in the season. Like, this is a movie. This is real life. And one loss shouldn't beat you twice. And now it's beaten the Bears how many times? We're talking about an 8-game losing streak here. And even in this game, you saw how one mistake led to another, killed a drive. The sack led to a bad check down where maybe Caleb Williams is concerned on early drives in the game, right? Check down to a short run. Then we see the sack fumble happened on the third play. So the sack leads to a conservative play where maybe you're not trusting yourself. Then you see the sack fumble and the turnover. Or we're seeing what happened with Doug Kramer. He failed to report. I've never heard such a condescending tone out of an official. Like, we all just failed our test for using ink and not number two pencil on the Scantron, you know? So that happens. And then what should have been a touchdown gets called back, and that turns into just a field goal. At least in this case, guys, if you're going to start holding people accountable and taking out variables in a harsh way when you fire Shane Waldron, when you fire Matt Eberflus, we start to figure out who's actually responsible here. And a lot of the blame has to go to the players, too. One bright spot I can say is at least the defense was not picked apart like it was against San Francisco the week before. It's still 30-12. Let's not get that twisted. But at least we didn't see two explosive plays on the first drive like we did the week before. You know, there weren't as many breakdowns.
To me, just what it was, guys, is just they're a much better football team. And that's what makes me upset, that it turned into a 30-12 game. And, yes, it was a little bit closer, and you could hear Troy Aikman saying, hopefully it's going to turn into a better game. But we all know that. We all felt that. It's just they are a much better team, and it's unfortunate going into the season that we were supposed to be better than them. And then they're probably going to maybe win the division now with the injuries in Detroit. And it's just to sit there and watch that and think about all the positive vibes or positive feelings we had about this team and what the potential could be and where we were going to be, maybe, you know, talking about the playoffs, you know, what these games are going to mean late at the year. And now we're just sitting there watching the Minnesota Vikings kick our butt. And you just like, God, why can't we be them? And we're not even close. And it's like, what do we have to do this offseason to be competitive? We're just not a competitive football team anymore. And that's what's so disappointing about this season to me.
Yeah, you can't lose your head coach and your offensive coordinator and expect everyone to keep developing, right? And that's why I was fascinated by everyone talking about this intern head coach bump that they were supposed to get, right? And I just didn't see it coming from, you know, when you lose your OC, you lose your head coach, and they're both your play callers, right? And you were talking about the thing you're probably worried about the most, if you're worried about the Chicago Bears' future, is the way Caleb Williams is starting to look. But if you're really looking at it, Pat and Layla, from the outside looking in, how is he supposed to develop amongst all this chaos, right? And if you look at the Chicago Bears, here's my problem. It's what you both are saying right now. I can't pinpoint the problem.
Right.
I can't just tell you this is the problem with this team. We shouldn't be in year three of the Ryan Poles era and saying there is this problem and this problem. And okay, that's a problem, but this is a problem too. And that's also a problem. Right. So that's where it's really starting to worry me now, when you're watching this football team play ball. And I'm saying, well, that guy made a great play there. His last name, I got to go through my flip card and say his name is Ford. Right.
Yep.
Jonathan Ford played a decent game and knows against Bradbury. But is Jonathan Ford going to be here next year? Where's Pickens? Right. Where's Javon Dexter?
Right.
Where's the guys we've drafted to develop to get our football team over the hump? And that's my problem when I watch this game, guys. It's the second time Bajan came in and takes snaps.
Yeah.
Not because you blew somebody out, because you got blown out.
Yeah, that's an embarrassing thing for the team. And going into the season, everybody questioned, I think the number one question, maybe the biggest question, and being much higher of a question than anything else, was how's the O-line going to play? Mm-hmm. Well, right now, we know that didn't work out, right? Well, now we're asking about the D-line. The middle linebacker's not playing for what you're paying him for. Tyreek Stevenson is not playing as well as you thought he would. What's going to happen with Jaquan Brisker? Like, now you have even more questions that are at the same level as of what we were asking about the offensive line. So it's you were hoping to figure this thing out and say, okay, we'll get through the year, then we'll fix the one problem we have, which is the O-line. But now you have 3, 4, 5 problems you have to deal with, and I feel like we're back to ground zero again.
Well, and let's not forget, Javon Dexter is injured. Mm-hmm. Are you really confident about him being the fulcrum to your defensive front that you say is so important for this team? Is that now going to still continue now that you need a new head coach? Are you going to bring in an offensive head coach? We heard some reports on the pregame show on TV talking about that, but I don't have the confidence that that's necessarily going to happen. How telling, guys, were the shots of George McCaskey and Ryan Poles upstairs watching this game. Meanwhile, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who was also available the same offseason that Ryan Poles was, sitting pretty knowing that he's made the smart decisions, hiring a head coach who knows how to make an offensive talent not only work well, but reclaim him, change the opinion on him maybe in the league. And he's a favorite for Coach of the Year right now, Kevin O'Connell.
It's been an embarrassment of hiring. I mean, it's been that way for 12 years. And we've talked about since George took over. It's been an embarrassment with, you know, you start with just drawing a blank on his the first GM right after. Why am I drawing a blank on
Pace?
His name? No,
Phil
I don't
Emery.
Know.
Phil what? Emery.
Emery, Phil Emery. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Phil Emery. Thinking about him and then him bringing in Mark Trestman. It just keeps continuing that way for 12 years that they don't make the right hires. Who's making those decisions? We know who is, but now we have Kevin Warren in there. And hopefully he can be a different voice, a different set of eyes to figure out who the right person is to bring in. But that's just me crossing my fingers, right? We don't know that. We still know who's in charge. We still know who we're sitting in those interviews and making the decision of who they feel like will fit into Hallis Hall. So I don't trust it, but I guess I'm hopeful, just fingers crossed for Kevin Warren, that he is the right guy in there to help figure this thing out.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason again, right, Pat?
Yep.
We joked in the pregame show that me and you are not the pre and post game for games. We're the pre and post for different regimes that come to Hallis Hall. That's what we do nowadays. We have to, like, you can't even talk about the game and someone's pass set or the play that was
right.
called or the scheme that was run or what is going on. You have to keep talking about the plan, right? The actual plan, like, when you watch them put this team together and then – I'm always surprised, guys, when we get to the end of the year and everyone's surprised that you're not a better running team. And I'm saying, well, did you see who they signed in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see them sign and draft a bunch of wide receivers? Did you see them sign a running back who's not a downhill runner per se, although he was running with attitude tonight?
Yes.
I'll give Swift that, right? He was running downhill. He was running guys over. He had a great chip block, but consistency, right? You need that consistently every week, week in and week out, to bring that kind of attitude to your football team. And now, you know, you lose Braxton Jones and you have a third string, your left tackle from Yale come in, right? And he may develop into a good player. And I don't want to be too hard on a guy who I told you, who was told he was going to start Friday or Saturday. And you know, to the fact of, you know, I don't know why people are shocked they're not running the ball. That's not the way they're built.
Right.
They took a quarterback, number one, who basically threw the ball all through college, right? And then they signed a receiver for $20 million, gave another receiver $27 million, and then drafted a receiver, number nine in the draft, signed a running back for $10 million, signed a tight end, and now everyone screams at you, why can't you run the ball? I just, guys, the plan is the plan, and you have to stick to it. And they are stuck with the way they put this team together. And like you're seeing, it's not working.
Yeah, what did Mully say? He called it they're building the 7-on-7 team before they've built the team. And, you know, I got a lot of flack, guys, for just simply asking the question. And what we knew was an outrageously rich free draft class when it came to offensive tackles. We knew that that was an excellent class, especially if you were in a top 10 situation like the Bears were.
Yeah.
Did they do the right thing? Like, Roma Dunze is going to be there. There's no doubt. I like him.
Sure.
But you had to make some tough decisions. You also decided to trade for Keenan Allen. Was a rookie quarterback, realistically, going to be able to know what to do with all of those weapons when the line was deficient and we saw that coming?
I mean, that's another knock on Ryan Poles, in my opinion, that, you know, we celebrated how he was building the Bears with some of these names, but was he doing it the right way? What you're talking about, not drafting an O-lineman, not signing in an O-lineman instead of Keenan Allen, not bringing in a big free agent or anything like that. And we're seeing it right now. It's that might be the big key to make Caleb uncomfortable, and that could be hurting his development. You know, you thought you'd get him weapons on the outside, but, I mean, Harbaugh talked about it, right? Jim Harbaugh said as soon as he got there, how am I going to fix it? Give him a running game. How am I going to make Herbert better? Give him a running game. And we're seeing it play out, and it's working for him, and it's just, you know, maybe this is another knock the way we need to evaluate Ryan Poles.
Guys, this is going to date us all. But you know who was a good quarterback who benefited from having a solid running game? John Elway.
Yes.
In the second part of his career.
Yep.
The more successful part.
Yep.
I mean, how far do you have to go back to show that a running game helps every single quarterback under the sun? Troy Aikman's talking about it on the game broadcast tonight. He's talking about North Turner. North Turner and the Cowboys also had one of the best offensive lines of all time and one of the greatest running backs of all time, and a very good fullback, I might add, who's also in the Hall of Fame. Right?
Yep.
Yes, those are all good points, right? And when you talk about all of that comes full circle to, you mentioned North Turner, right? And Luke Getsy is fired, right? Waldron is fired. And you go back to the plan of watching this team now, and it's frustrating to see that, okay, Olufoshanu is there, and he plays for the Jets now, and he's a tackle from the Penn State. And yes, we all thought Rome Odunze went to University of Washington. I'm from University of Washington. Rome Odunze is a great football player, right? But if you're the Chicago Bears and you look at your history and you say, okay, well, what do we have to fix? What is our biggest problem? What has been our problem for years? And we've been through this many times, right? I mean, they took Jaquan Brisker, right? And Cam Jurgens, the Eagles starting center, was on the board. Right after Jaquan Brisker, he goes to the Eagles, right? And Brisker, we all hope he gets healthy, but he's out, right? And he's not playing right now. And then they take Tyreek Stevenson the next year, and John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, the number one center in the draft, is on the board. He's playing center for the Giants, right? So it's just... when they took Velus Jones, their starting right tackle for the Seahawks, was on the board right after Velus Jones. It's just you chose not to fix that unit.
Yep.
And now you're suffering for it.
Your reaction at CHGO was great.
Right. I said then it's because Pat and Layla, you're watching a car crash.
Right.
Right. You're watching something like it's you're careening to the cliff, and you're like, guys, you're going to fall off this cliff. Like, do you not see that? Mm-hmm. The two former offensive linemen, do you guys not see what's about to happen here? And sure enough, now you're struggling there. And like I said, man, I mean, Karan was out. Remember, he was out all of camp, right?
Yes.
He was injured. So he had no reps. His pass set looks like he hasn't got much reps.
That was terrible too,
right?
Man.
So, but it's bigger than that, right? There's also 30 points on the board, right? There's also receivers dropping balls. There's too many, you know, Troy Aikman talked about too many receivers in the same spot.
Yes.
Receivers wide open. We're not throwing it to them. We're not getting any big runs out of a running game. They got DJ Moore playing running back out of a four wide receiver set to change it up. The defensive line got not enough pressure on Sam Darnold. It's just all right now, guys, man, my biggest problem is that everything's a problem.
Yeah.
That is a good statement that can be applied to many aspects of life, unfortunately, Olin. These guys are fired up. We know you are, too. The number, you already know it. I see a lot of calls coming in, 314-644-6767. We have a lot of texts. It's late night, so I joked we're going to take some phone calls like Delilah. I don't know if there are any long-distance dedications. I was hoping for some more love songs. I don't know that that's happening tonight. But I'm lucky to be sitting in for Mully on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. So much more with the men. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, I'm lucky to talk to them, and we do want to hear from you. So we've got so much more to come on this late night edition. Stay with us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy. What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza. New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
The bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
That'll do it. Vikings have won 7 straight. Justin Jefferson and crew with shout-outs all night to the Hall of Famer Randy Moss. Minnesota goes to 12-2 on the year. And their most wins since 98 through 14 games.
Not the long distance dedication I was hoping for, since this is the Johnny Cash acoustic version of the Nine Inch Nails song Hurt, but it will do, Tyler. Thanks for doing that on the ones and twos. This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. Before we get to the calls, Olin, Pat, we had a commercial break to decompress. Do you have any other thoughts you want to get off your chests? Olin, I'll start with you.
No, not really. I mean, this team, I'm all out of thoughts on this football team, right? I just really tired. I guess my thought is that if there's anything to get off my chest, is really tired of talking about the franchise and why they struggle. And like Pat talked about earlier, the certain people picking coaches and the people they put in that building and how they don't all seem to work in the same direction. And it seems like they get stuck in an echo chamber up there, Pat, and they can never get out of it. Right. And they never look anywhere else for help but in their building. And to me, at some point, you have to say, man, we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
We just don't.
Right. Yeah. It's just been rinse and repeat for you and I on these airwaves. And it's just been honestly, just watching that game the last couple games, I'm depressed. I'm truly depressed. And I know all Bears fans are as well. But it's just the same damn thing over and over. And it's not just the players making bad plays. It's the like you just said, Olin, the building making bad picks, firing coaches, retrying, trying this, trying that. And it's tiring. That's what it is. It's depressing.
I do, before we want to get to the calls, and again, we appreciate you guys for calling 312-644-6767. We get to see if I learn how to run the call screener today, so that's going to be an adventure. I do want to point out this, and it's something that Pat and I saw watching the game together, Olin, is that some of these plays, especially the throws to Keenan Allen, for example, the missed throw in the end zone, we saw that exact same play executed well earlier in the season. I know it was against lesser opponents like Jacksonville, for example. But that's where I worry about potential regression with Caleb Williams, because maybe he's so afraid of throwing an interception. What did you guys see? And Olin, again, I'll start with you.
Yeah, Troy Aikman did a nice job talking about it. And obviously, whenever a quarterback is doing a game, your ears, you know, perk up a little bit more, right? Because they've been through it. And Troy talked about him going 0-11 his rookie year and the struggles. And you heard him mention the college season is usually over by now, or at least you're taking a break before your bowl game. So Caleb Williams, this is his first time playing this much football in 1 year, and more than that, putting that much of yourself on film where people can study you, give you different looks. He just looked uncomfortable and sped up all night, right? Mm-hmm. With the crowd noise, a silent count, play calls coming in. But bigger than that, man, and this has been what I've been thinking about with Caleb Williams, Pat Lela, is I honestly think there's no way, you know, Pat, me and you both played in the NFL. And for people to say, like, oh, he's fine, like, this is not affecting him, the chaos in that building, like, you got to be kidding me. Right, his OC is gone, his head coach is gone. We saw during Hard Knocks him meeting with Coach Eberflus. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that guy's fired. And as a player, you never feel good, Pat, when a coach gets fired. Right, you feel like you had something to do with that. Right, like things are not going well if guys are getting fired. So it's they should worry about it. He should worry about it. His camp should worry about it, and they should ask the right questions about what is going on up there at Halas Hall, and you know, especially of Ryan Poles, especially has to answer the question of, okay, like, you kept Eberflus, we fired him. You Getsy, Waldron, like, we have to go walk through the process of how we got here. And now our young quarterback, like Layla pointed out, is struggling.
Yeah, and your job as the GM, and everybody talks about it, when you have this quarterback drafted where he's drafted, to give him structure and stability. Mm-hmm. That's gone. I mean, that is off the table, right? So now, right, what does he have? He doesn't know what he's walking into at Halas Hall every day. And that's part of the structure and stability, that when you walk in, you have the same meeting times, the same message, same person giving you the same message, helping you grow as a player, helping you grow as a quarterback or whatever, just being better at what you're supposed to do. And right now, he's in chaos. You know, he has now Chris Beatty is now his offensive coordinator talking to him, where it was Thomas Brown a couple weeks ago. It was Shane Waldron. And I'm sure some of the veterans are in his ear, too. Like, no, it's all right. Let's do it this way. I'm sure the receivers now are talking like, hey, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. So he has no structure or stability or consistency in that building. So, yes, that's going to hurt him. That's going to hurt him a lot. If he can overcome this, then that's going to go a long way. Then he can always look back on this and be like, man, it's never been that bad before, and I've done it before, and I came through it. But right now, there's just no structure or stability for him.
I mean, there's just simple things, too, that are just so glaring. That Jacksonville game was technically a home game. They're 0-7 on the road.
Yeah.
When you consider that stat by itself, just the simple record, everything is a concern. Every single thing. Let's get to the phones here as I have to lean up because I'm not tall enough for the screener. Let's start.
You got to pull your chair up a little bit.
I know, but then it just doesn't work and I'm hanging on the desk. Let's start with Steven. Steven, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Hey, Layla. I used to live in North Texas and have some friends who you're very familiar with in the industry down there. So it's a pleasure to be talking with you for the first time.
Well, thanks. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, I have to say that tonight's embarrassing loss on national stage really put Ryan Poles close to the firing line. I know the dreaded vote of confidence came from Kevin Warren, and I know a lot of people are like, well, what was that for? But I just think that, you know, with Warren, you know, having spent a lot of time in Minnesota and still have some connections there, and obviously the crown jewel being building that stadium, I feel that Warren is so thoroughly pissed and embarrassed that I think if the Bears and decide to part ways with Ryan Poles, would anybody feel sorry or would anybody be up in arms and say, well, Kevin Warren is a liar and stuff like that? I don't think so, because I think what we saw tonight with the way this team has been constructed from top to bottom, offense, defense, and special teams, you know, with Kieran Amagaji looking like a turnstile and the Bears coaching staff absolutely did nothing the entire game to, you know, help that side of the field. I just think that Ryan Poles should probably update his resume and maybe just perhaps save himself and just part ways, or, you know, just submit his resignation and just move on. You know, I just think that it was that bad of a night, and I'm really, really sorry, but I think Ryan Poles is done with the Chicago Bears, and I have no faith or no hope with him in charge.
All right, so that was Steven, and I understand that I don't think Ryan Poles is going to be submitting a letter of resignation.
Probably not.
But I do want to talk about Karan Amagaji getting the start, especially with you two, Olin and Pat, because I see why it happened, right? If you're going to go out there and play, and we drafted you in the third round, and you came up to Matt Eberflus on a golf course and gave your elevator pitch, and it worked. It did. You got to play for your hometown team. At some point, you're gonna have to get thrown into being held responsible. But that was baptism by fire, guys. And you can look at it. I know there were a couple of plays that we all pointed out. There could have been help there to help ease the burden for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, Olin, I would love to get your take. Because, like, if it's all about Caleb, and I understand you want to develop Karan as well, right? You want to get him some reps. But I think the most important thing is to get Caleb comfortable. And is putting Karan in there the right answer? Because I guarantee you he had to be thinking, what's going to happen on my left side? Yeah, that has to drip into your mind a little bit, knowing he's very limited, coming off an injury, hasn't played much. So I just don't know if that was the right decision for the development of Caleb. Now, is it the right decision for the development of Karan where we are in the season? Sure. But is that what is best for the Chicago Bears?
I'm sorry. I'm rewatching the game. I'm laughing because on 3rd and 17, Aaron Jones gets a first down the same way he got one in the first game on 3rd and 13. But Jonathan Owens is actually celebrating like he stopped him.
Yes. How about that one?
This team is fascinating to me. Anyway, you know, about Karan, the answer is very simple. It wasn't the right decision to start him, and here's why. He had no camp.
Right.
He was injured most of the year, right? So his development, you're putting him on the field, and if you are going to put him on the field, Pat and Layla, we talked about in the pregame show, you have to be stubborn with the run, right, in this game. And it's almost like if you're talking about developing a quarterback, you almost have to go to the point of, like, I don't care what the score is. We're going to run our offense, right? We're going to run the ball. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to do play action pass. You heard Troy Aikman talk about not a lot of play action passes in this offense since Thomas Brown took over. And I agree with him there. The one thing I would add to that is not a lot of play action passes off the actual run game, actual what they're running. Not a lot of packages built out in their offense. But as far as Karan goes, Borum should have been playing there, right? He should have been starting there because of Karan had no offseason, right? He had no offseason this year. He didn't get to work. I think he was just out hurt. He just came back. Just not a lot of work for the young guy. And then you put him in there and you don't give him help against one of the hottest pass rushers in the NFL in Jonathan Greenard. It was just kind of crazy to watch, guys. And I was watching. I wrote in my notes early from like the first two or three plays. I'm like, they got to give Karan help, right? I mean, I put right with a question mark. Actually, right. I was talking to myself, which I do a lot. But it was just crazy to watch this. It just seems like a simple answer to me that, well, I sit up in a room and I say, well, we really can't start him, guys, because he really hasn't had a lot of work this year.
Right, and there's no pads in practice anymore. Very, mm-hmm. very, very limited. So he's not getting mm-hmm. any type of like real one-on-one pass, you know, one-on-one pass rush stuff. So today when Brad Biggs had that tweet, I was like, what are they thinking? Mm-hmm. This is not about the development of Karan. This is about the development of Caleb. And I did not agree with that one at all, but – yeah, it's about Caleb, not Karan.
But you know, Pat, to your point, like, I would like to ask them, you know, when you started Karan, how many padded practices has he had?
Right.
Right. How many padded one-on-one pass rushes has he had? How many? Then you're going to put him in Minnesota on Monday night
right.
with a whiteout versus Greenard one-on-one. And, you know, your quarterback, I mean, he gets up. Caleb took a lot of hits tonight, dragged mm-hmm. himself off the ground, laid on the bench. I mean, he fought through everything. But you're taking a risk there when he hit his right arm and caused that fumble.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we've seen this Bears team help their offensive line at times with extra blockers. Not often enough. But that one was a decision where I could see the thought process on their end. But you're right. The most important guy on this team is 18. Mm-hmm. And if you're not protecting him the right way, Larry Borum's management this entire season, especially the last few weeks, has been very confusing to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know mm-hmm. how you guys feel about it, but that is one part of this that I have yet to grasp, is games where he's a healthy scratch, games where you're trying to figure out who your main backups are. And I feel like he's earned his spot. You guys would know better than me.
I will say this. The offensive line in general, right, has been confusing to me, period. Right. Just the whole, you know, I went back, we talked in the pregame show because everybody kept talking about why was the run game so much better last year than it is this year, right? So I figured I'd go back and watch the Bajan games, right? Not when they didn't have Justin Fields to run the ball and threaten the defense on the edges. I'd watch when Bajan played. And the thing that stood out to me the most was that their offensive line was better. And they had better run blockers at fullback and at tight end. Well, they actually had a fullback. And then they had Robert Tonyan and not Gerald Everett at tight end. And Tonyan was doing a lot of motioning. He did a lot of things in the run game last year. But Cody Whitehair, right? Lucas Patrick, Tevin Jenkins next to Darnell Wright, and Braxton Jones or Larry Borum. It was a better offensive line, guys. It really was. And to think that you got to your third year and you're actually fielding an offensive line that's not better than one that you had your second year is just crazy to me.
Yeah, just, Olin, real quick. To me, it looks like they double teams. They're not on the same page. You know what I mean? If they bump a linebacker in motion, they take the wrong angle. They take the wrong step. They're just not getting to where they're supposed to get it. Just the cohesiveness. That's the word I'm looking for. The cohesiveness of this line as well is not as good as it was last year.
Yeah, I got to look up cohesiveness now. But listen, the thing about if you think about if you think about the offensive line and what you're talking about, Pat, and you just mentioned with Karan Amagaji how little pads they have, right? Well, what do you think Pryor played all camp? He played tackle, probably,
right?
Because they had Nate Davis and all these other guys they were working in, and then to the plan of the run game and the offensive line again, you got Doug Kramer out there trying to play fullback, like. I'm sure he doesn't want to play fullback, right? I mean, he's a center. So it's just, yes, of course, their run fits, they don't fit in well. You got Tevin Jenkins working with Kron Amagaja, who he got no work with in camp, right? You know, Ryan Bates is supposed to be the starting center. We haven't seen him most of the year. You know, Nate Davis is supposed to be their right guard. They had to put Pryor in there. They had a couple other offensive linemen injured this year. Just a lot of guys, man, in and out there. And, of course, they don't fit in well.
Yeah. It's good times over here. We have so much more to come here on the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. I see the phone lines are lit up, 312-644-6767. More of your calls, more of your texts, more from Olin and from Pat Manley as we get you ready to break down this eighth straight loss by the Bears. But we're here for you, just like Delilah on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.